All right. So I like Walker a lot. And I'll tell you, I think Walker has a better than 50-50 chance of being the presidential nominee for the Republicans. And I think he would be a great president. I'm very high on Walker. And that was starting from a position of, eh. Rubio. I have always liked Rubio. He is articulate. He is smart. I like his viewpoints on everything. His immigration policy, I think, is a little bit left of where I'd like to be, but he's kind of reformed it, and I think he sincerely reformed it. I like the fact he has a Hispanic background. He speaks fluent Spanish. The only thing I don't like about Rubio is he doesn't have a lot of experience, right? He's a one-term senator. He has a lot of experience in the Florida State House. So he has good political experience, but he doesn't have good management experience. Walker, by the way, being a governor, does. I really think we need a governor to be president. We need somebody who knows how to run the deal. However, I think Rubio would be a fabulous vice presidential candidate. And in the, hopefully, 8 years in the vice presidential slot, he'll get the experience to be president for 8 years. I really think Rubio's going to be president someday. I just don't think it's this time around. But I like him a lot. And there's no viewpoint other than just a smidgen on immigration that I don't agree with him on. And boy, does he give a good speech. I mean, he's a great orator. The Republicans have some really good talkers. I mean, Fiorina, Chrissy, really all of them present themselves really well. Some of them in an outstanding manner. Donald Trump. You know, here's the paradox. I think Trump would actually be a really good president. I think he'd be great. I don't think he'd take crap from anybody. I think he'd kick butt all over the world. I think America would be on the rise. I don't think Russia and China, and I don't think any of these guys would dare do a thing. Unfortunately, Trump is pompous, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with being egotistical. You got to be to run for president to begin with. But this guy is like over the top. And I think he'll turn off people, and I don't think there's any way he could be elected. And, you know, having a great nominee that can't be elected means failure of the country, folks. The party is irrelevant. What we really need is a third party. But unfortunately, with 47% voting left and 47% voting right and the 6% in the middle deciding elections, there's no room for a third party right now. That'll come in the future, I'm quite sure. Right now, you got to kind of marshal your assets and your votes, particularly with all the voter fraud, intentional voter fraud, being promulgated by the progressive Democrats to get your guy elected. We just don't have the luxury, unfortunately, of a third party right now. And it's going to have to evolve very slowly. So Trump, I think, and I love listening to the guy, you know, he talks in generalities. He really doesn't have specifics, which I don't like. But he has the right ideas. And I don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell he can get the nomination. But he'll provide some fire and spice to the campaign if he ever gets in. I mean, he hasn't really officially announced. You know, typical Trump. I think really what he's doing is he loves the publicity, and it helps him with all his other business endeavors and his TV shows. That's my opinion. Huckabee. You know, he might be the most sincere of the entire slate of Republican candidates. And he has some good ideas. I agree with him on defense, on immigration, on economy, on tax, you name it. I agree with him on all those huge issues. But you know what? I don't agree with him on the religious, should we say the social right subjects. I mean, I agree with him on some of them, but I don't agree with how he harps on it. It's a loser. If the Republicans harp on social, the Democrats would like nothing more than to talk about abortion, talk about birth control, talk about gay rights, talk about racial, talk about inequality. They would love that stuff. That's their meat and potatoes. That's how they evoke emotions in the electorate and get votes, when in fact their policies are the antithesis of the positions which they try to espouse. So Huckabee, although I think he's really sincere and a good man and would be a very good president, has the governor background, the whole nine yards, I don't think he'll get the nomination, and I really don't think he's electable. Once again, if it was Huckabee Clinton or Huckabee any Democrat, I'd vote for Huckabee in a heartbeat and feel pretty good about it. Santoro. You know, I have never liked Rick Santoro. I don't know why. I just don't like him. He delivers in a so-so manner. I don't like his delivery, his presence. He doesn't have any managerial experience. He hasn't been a governor, been a senator, and lost his elections, I might add, in Pennsylvania. He has a fairly good grasp of foreign policy. I mean, I agree with him on many of his foreign policy, economic, et cetera, stances. Once again, like Huckabee, except I don't think he has the sincerity of Huckabee. You know, he keeps getting stuck in the morass of those right social issues, which are really, I'm going to emphasize this, they are so secondary to what is important to this country, to our lives, to our existence, to our pocketbooks, to our values and our principles. They can come next. You build the foundation before you put on the roof. And I don't think he has a snowball's chance in hell of getting the nomination, and I am absolutely positive he couldn't be elected president. Rand Paul, wow, what an interesting candidate. You know, if I take just his domestic policies, freedom, libertarian kind of laissez-faire, the individual rules, strict adherence to the Constitution, which, by the way, virtually all these people have, his views on taxes, economy, let the market rule, more so than any other candidate, cut government down to size, other than Walker. I really like him. But you know what? I think his international ideas are really dangerous. I think it's kind of like a Republican Obama. And I think America needs to be doing exactly the opposite of standing down. I think the threats abroad need to be eliminated. They need to be met, and they need to be neutralized. And I don't mean militarily. I mean psychologically. If our enemies, China, Russia, others, ISIS, jihadi, radical Islam, if our enemies don't think we're serious, or think we're going to turn around, or think that in Rand Paul's case, or think that we're serious but we're not going to do anything, in Obama's case, they know we're not serious and we're not going to do anything. I think we're in for a host of trouble. And I think in Jeremiah Wright's words, yes, the chickens will be coming home to roost and we're not going to like them. So Rand Paul loses me on his international stance. And I might add, his isolationist stance. We're way past that. In the days where we have porous borders, people can smuggle weapons back and forth, a vial of biological materials can wipe out millions, Iran's going to get the bomb, et cetera, et cetera. You know, if you do not fill the vacuum, others will. That's what we're seeing in the Middle East right now. And I don't think Rand Paul will bring a lot of stability or hope to our allies who are scared to death right now. I mean, little Lithuania. They couldn't stand up to the Russian army for like 5 minutes. They actually started a draft. That's how concerned they are about America helping them out if Russia comes for them. Poland's doing the same thing. Huge ally of the United States. And a true democracy. And kind of a shining example of what used to be a communist Eastern Bloc country, now really standing on its own 2 feet with a representative. I mean, they're terrific. And what do? We just undermine them. So I don't think that type of presidential outlook is going to be good for enemy or ally. Even though intentioned differently than Obama's purposeful undermining of this country and its values. And I don't think Rand Paul, by the way, I think he may be electable as a president. I don't think he'll get the nomination. And I think he kind of shot himself in the foot this week. I was really surprised. Really surprised. And it gave me a different flavor of him again. When he came out and blamed the hawks in the Republican Party for the creation of ISIS. I mean, say what? How do you come up with that? There may have been fools in the Republican Party who didn't step up to stop ISIS, who wrongly sent arms or wanted to send arms to people who were going to give them to ISIS. But you know what? The rise of ISIS was forecast by George Bush. And the rise of ISIS is the spawn of Obama. Period. The fact that they exist at all is based on his actions and lack of actions. Period. And if they didn't exist, you couldn't arm them. So Rand Paul lost me on that one. Didn't like that at all. Lindsey Graham. You know, I like his international stance a lot. His domestic stance is death by a thousand razor cuts. He would have been like McCain. He's kind of a soft pedal Obama. Lots of social programs, spend lots of money. You know, I like Lindsey. I think he's really sincere on the international military stuff, and I like how he thinks. I like everything about him. But on the domestic stuff, you know, he could almost be kind of a red state Democrat. And I don't think Lindsey can get the nomination. Lindsey, although he's a lot of military experience because he was in JAG for 25 years, once again, he's never been a governor. He's never run anything. So I don't think he could be elected, and I don't think he'll get the nomination. Ben Carson, what an interesting fellow. I really like Ben Carson. I've always liked Ben Carson. And the more I listen to him, the more I like him. He kind of has a libertarian feel of Rand Paul with the strict constitutional advocacy of Walker and Cruz. And the international backbone of any of these strong international policy candidates. I mean, I like Ben Carson a lot. And, you know, the problem with Ben Carson is he doesn't really have management experience, right? I mean, he has run a medical practice, and he's particularly well-suited for that. But, I mean, he hasn't run like a big show, like the United States or a state. Nonetheless, I think he's very sincere. I think he's very courageous. I like the fact that he's black. You know, there's 4 or 5 black guys I'd vote for president in a heartbeat. I'd vote for Ben Carson. I'd vote for Colonel Allen West. I'd vote for the gentleman Smith down there in North Carolina, the senator. I mean, there's some outstanding black conservatives that I'd vote for in a heartbeat. Ben Carson is one of them. The problem is, I just don't know. I mean, what an interesting matchup, right? Hillary Clinton against Ben Carson. Black man versus first woman running for president. Wow. And you know, Ben Carson might be a great VP candidate. And Ben Carson could win. I think, you know, he has a shot at the nomination, certainly a shot at the VP slot. And I think he might be able to win a general election with more exposure, particularly contrasted against Hillary or one of the other Democratic morons. I think actually he'd have the most trouble against O'Malley. Very interesting. Gonna have to wait and see how that plays out. But I like him. I like him. And he has guts. And guts, let me tell you, folks, I'm going to digress just for a moment again. One of the things you better be looking for in a candidate is guts. Okay, we can't afford any more noodles, or shall we say, any more purposeful noodles. We need somebody that the world's going to respect, or we're going to pay a heavy, heavy price, both lives and economic, in lots of different ways, and maybe right here at home. Actually, almost certainly right here at home. And then we have Perry. You know, of all the candidates, I like Perry the best. I really do. I think he's done a remarkable job as the governor of Texas, and that's a big state, 36 million people. He certainly has the managerial capabilities and the managerial experience. I like his delivery. I like his thoughts and feelings on everything. The guy has guts. I mean, he basically has been telling the federal government to stick it for years. You don't want to send National Guard down here? I'll mobilize National Guard. I like the guy a lot. Unfortunately, I don't think he could win an election. He'd be another great VP candidate. I think he'd be a great president, by the way. And I'd vote for him in a heartbeat, enthusiastically. I think that one debate 4 years ago where he, whatever, had a brain fart on stage and couldn't remember the names of those various agencies and departments, that really hurt him. That kind of stuck in people's mind. And he didn't handle it that well. I mean, you know, he kind of joked around about it, but there was other ways to handle it. Kind of like Romney did when he blew it there with Candy Crowley. I mean, come on, Mitt. You got to think a little bit better on your feet. I would have turned to Candy Crowley and said, I didn't realize you were running for president. And you're flat wrong. Now, Barack, why don't you answer this question for me? I would have turned it right around. Oh, well, you know, whatever. So I like Perry a lot. And unfortunately, I don't think he can get the oomph to get the nomination. I don't think anybody will seriously consider him as a VP candidate. He does have an indictment right now, which is absolute BS, trumped up by a drunken county Democratic progressive DA for political purposes, a woman that he removed from her position because she was DUI. In any event, unfortunately, I just don't think it's Perry's time. So, where do we come out? I'm going to wrap this up for you. I gave you some things at the beginning of the show. ISIS, nukes, Mexican border, China, South China Sea, minister warning of war with the United States, Russia, Kerry kissing Putin's butt. These are really big things, folks. And you millennials out there who are thinking of voting for Hillary or think you like socialism, I want to remind you, we're going to have a $20 trillion national debt in a few years. When my generation, you know, the 50, 60-somethings, the baby boomers, when we die, guess who's going to pay that? You are. Hello, knock, knock. You think it's all going to go away like your student loans? You better wake up. Because you're liking candidates that are putting you in the debt house, the poor house, the financial manacle. And this is going to impact your life big time. And I will remind you also that if you're dead, it doesn't matter. If you're caught up in a biological attack, a nuclear attack, an EMP, whatever, by China, by Russia, by ISIS, whoever, all your little social nonsense, born of youthful exuberance, lack of experience, and may I say, if you don't mind, lack of applied logic, isn't going to matter. You don't vote to be cool. You don't vote for somebody because she's the first woman, or the first black man, or the first Hispanic. You vote for somebody who's going to do the best job running this country domestically and internationally, and it's going to keep your little butt safe and out of the poorhouse. And who will preserve rather than undermine your freedoms, i.e. downsize rather than increase the size of government. The two are synonymous. All right, my lecture to the millennials. But if you take the things that I talked about at the beginning of the show, and you take these regs, the EPA, the intrusion on the puddle in your driveway, and you take what's happening internationally, folks, and you go down what I've just told you in very broad brush about each of the candidates, time to start your mental processes going. Because one of the things that needs to happen, if we're going to have a conservative, I don't care about Republican, a conservative president, is that this field needs to be winnowed down quickly. Otherwise, it's going to get confusing and people are going to tune it out. And boy, we really can't stand another 8 years of Barack Obama a la Hillary Clinton, O'Malley, or Warren. I mean, that's a disaster. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. You have a great Saturday, a great week. We'll talk to you next week.